Given the state of our world, and especially now the state of our church, I am so glad to walk into this church with you and see a cross, see a crucifix. I'm so glad that I see my Jesuit vow cross when I wake up each day and can't avoid seeing it. And we have crosses here and there in our Jesuit community and in the Jesuit conference offices. I'm so happy to see a cross these days. Theologian Ronald Ronheiser writes in his book, The Holy Longing, he writes this: "The crucifixion scene is a good image of the church. Jesus dies between two criminals. Anyone at this time looking at that scene would not have made a distinction between who was guilty and who was innocent. There was just one landscape: God on a cross between two thieves. This is the perennial ecclesial image: grace and sin, sanctity and pettiness, fidelity and betrayal, all part of a single horizon." I think the crucifixion scene is a good image for the church. We are a church of saints, sinners, and misfits, a church of many who find themselves on crosses because they are victims of abuse, or they are unwelcomed migrants, or they are good people misunderstood and mistreated, perhaps because of the color of their skin or their level of education or their financial situation. So many on crosses by nature's vicissitudes, or worse, by humankind's evil. We are a world longing for redemption, reconciliation, hope. We are a church longing for trust, waiting for grace. Jesus' cross tells us we are not alone on our crosses. God suffers with us. Jim Keyser relates a story in his book about the monks of Tiberine, the Trappist monks who were kidnapped and murdered in 1996 during the Algerian Civil War. One of the monks was speaking with a Sufi Muslim who wanted to talk about the cross, and the monk asked, "Which cross?" And the Sufi answers, "The cross of Jesus." And the Sufi goes on to say he sees three crosses. "When I extend my arms, it is for embracing, for loving. That's the cross in front. The other cross behind it is an instrument of hatred for disfiguring love. And the third cross, the common effort we are making to loosen ourselves from the cross of evil and sin that is behind, so that we can bind ourselves to the cross of love in front." Isn't that why we take up our crosses as best we can and follow Jesus as he asks us, so we can bind ourselves to Jesus' cross of love? The gospel this morning presents Peter as I might want to be, recognizing Jesus as the Christ for sure, but cautioning against any suffering. I would like a clean antiseptic Christ, set apart from us mortals because he is God, unable to suffer. I'm not sure Jesus is mad when he tells Peter, "Get behind me, Satan," or whether he is simply saying, "Peter, get back in line, follow me." Follow Jesus, who emptied himself, humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. That is what we believe, that God so loved the world that he sent his only Son to be one of us, to take up his cross, not pretending, but truly to suffer like us, to suffer with us. Jesus' cross tells us we are not alone on our crosses. God suffers with us. Yesterday was the feast of Our Lady of Sorrows, when we read the Stabat Mater. I don't know if we still read that anymore. Given the state of our world, and most especially now the state of our church, this song poem has a pointed relevance for me. We stand with Mary as she stands at the cross, her station keeping. Bruised, derided, cursed, defiled, she beheld her tender child all bloody scourges rent. For the sins of his own nation, we might say for the sins of his own church, saw him hanging in desolation till his spirit forth he sent. Let me mingle tears with you, mourning him who mourned for me all the days that I may live. By the cross with you to stay, there with you to weep and pray is all I ask of you to give. Christ, when you shall call me hence, be your mother my defense, be your cross my victory.